Geico could help you with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com.
Even if your tax refund isn't enough to get you the new car you want, it's enough to make your car feel like it's new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today to refresh your look during their tax season sales event. Maaco is the number one auto painting and collision repair shop in North America. You can take advantage of all of their deals and turn the car you drive back into the car you love. Book an appointment online at Maaco.com and reward yourself and your car with your refund this year.
Many people in Lorain County are forced to make tough choices. Please consider making a donation to help end hunger in our community. Every dollar donated can feed a family of four. Visit secondharvestfoodbank.org or click the link at WEOL.com.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930. Overnight, calm. Low near 30. The risk of a little rain by Wednesday afternoon with a high near 50.
Listening to Bulls Eye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.
All right. 15 minutes away from 4 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you, talking some NCAA college hoops today. March Madness, well, some believe that because of the first four in-games are being played today, it kind of starts today. I don't know. Where you fall on that, Douglas? You think
it officially starts today or
Thursday?
These teams are in their right to get there. It's not technically a play-in if you're the 11th seed. So, yeah, I'd give it to it.
All right. Fair enough. Let's head to the hotline right now. We bring in a former Division I assistant coach and a guy who has been a friend of the show ever since we launched a couple of years ago. Dan Helm joins us on the hotline. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. You guys?
Oh, we are lovely. Where do you fall on that? Do you think that the tournament officially starts today with the play-in games, or do you think it doesn't officially start until Thursday?
Well, I'm a little biased because it's played at UD Arena and you still get 10,000 fans. And I say yes, because what a fantastic opportunity for the 16 seeds that play tonight and tomorrow night, because when it's all said and done, one of those two teams will get a win in both of those games, and it counts as an NCAA tournament win. And for teams like that, that usually get slaughtered by 30 or 40 points. And now, I mean, we've had 1-16 beat a 1, but it's rarely going to happen. So it's a great opportunity. It feels like the game if you're there in person. It has that feel. The whole arena is decorated as if it's the tournament. And then, with the two 11-seeded games, a lot of teams come out of there. VCU did and made a Final Four run. And a lot of teams usually come out of there and win. They've got a little bit of momentum and, you don't have that 5 or 6 day break, and you'll usually, I bet, see one or two of these teams get another win or two in the tournament.
I've got a bunch of questions for you, and I've got another one I want to throw your direction. There's a bunch we'll get into specifically with the tournament and the matchups, but we debated this next question in the office late last week. Steve Bailey was on with me yesterday, and we touched on this for a couple of segments. What exactly constitutes a Cinderella in your mind? Because we got into this last week. I said that you have to win more than one game to be considered a Cinderella.
You put a round stipulation on it.
I think you need to win more than just – if you just win one game in the tournament, that's an upset. That doesn't necessarily make you a Cinderella. So, Dan, where do you fall on this?
It's a great question. And with the parity in today's game now, like, it is not it is not that big a deal when you actually take a look at, like, if a 10 beats a 7 and things like that. I do not think there needs to be a round stipulation. I think it's based on the seed. I think the higher the seed, the less you have to go. I mean, 100% I would call UMBC a Cinderella.
Thank you.
They won one game last year. It's the greatest upset in college basketball history. You can't deny that. I mean, that's a statistical fact if you could put a fact on that. I would say Cinderella is when it is a team at the back that really doesn't have a chance to win. I don't think you have to advance to the second weekend. I think that just adds to the lore of it. When a VCU starts in the first four and ends up in the Final Four, that's a Cinderella run. you know, when double-digit seeds. So I think the lower the seed, you probably a little more the leeway you get with how far you have to go, I would say.
Well okay. said, Dan. That's I tried to allude to that as well. I said there's only only a 16 seed can be a Cinderella going into the second round, I feel.
No, that's not the way you phrased
that last
week.
That's how I said it. I said exactly that.
Last week you said you could win one game and you didn't specify a seed, but regardless.
You may not have been in the room, but I told Steve that. I said it's not as uncommon for a 15 seed to beat a 2 seed. It's very odd for a 16 to beat a 1.
Sure, and the beauty of this is there's no right or wrong answer. I do find Dan's answer very interesting here in that, you know, I think the lower the seed, the fewer the games you have to win. I just contend that I think if you win a game, I'm not calling you a Cinderella. I think you've got to at least win a couple to get to the second round. But Dan's point is very interesting in that if you're a 16 and you beat a 1, in the court of public opinion, you're probably more so considered a Cinderella. But again, we'll get back into that a little bit later on because I know a lot of folks tuning in are interested to hear what you have to say about the different regions, the different matchups, and we'll begin with the regions. Dan, there are some really fascinating matchups, but as you break these things down to the four individual regions, is there a region out there that really kind of separates itself that you find more fascinating than the rest?
Well, you know, I look at the West region, and I think there's just enough parity in that and not enough known fact about Gonzaga that really could go a lot of directions. You know, Gonzaga is a fantastic team, and they are the only team that's beat a healthy Duke team. So, I mean, to take that, you can't take that away from them, but they've also lost to Kansas, they've lost to Tennessee, and then they just lost to St. Mary's by 12, who they beat earlier by 39. You look at that, Florida State's playing better than anybody else in the country besides probably 3 or 4 teams. They started out 1-4 in the ACC, and they won 14 of their next 16 games, and the two that they lost were to Duke. Texas Tech kind of, and it for us being in the Midwest, you know, you've got a Gonzaga, you've got Texas Tech as the 3 seed, really good player. And as Cavs fans, depending on where we fall, they have a guy, Culver, who is going to be a top 5 pick in the draft this year. Really excited to see. You've got Marquette versus Murray State. They have the 2 top scorers in the country right now, and John Morant for Murray State, another top 5 NBA pick. And Marquette has Marcus Howard. And then, obviously, we all are aware of Michigan. They're very battle-tested. They went to the finals last year. They had a great season in the Big Ten. I mean, this literally could shake out about 15 different ways, and I'm looking at it. And you got a Syracuse at the 8 seed, and they just had a very average season for Syracuse. But that matchup zone that they play causes fits every year in the tournament. And as a 10 seed, they went to the Final Four 3 years ago.
Dan Helm is talking some NCAA hoops with us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, getting ready for March Madness. We'll tip it away, of course, on Thursday. All right, a very popular question that seems to be asked every 5 seconds now is, if you're given the option of taking Duke or the field, who do you take? Right now, Duke getting 2-1 odds to win the entire thing. So I'll pose that question to you, my friend. Are you taking Duke or the field?
Well, I'll take the field just because I like my odds there, but I get it. I understand where everybody loves Duke. They're healthy again. Their starting center has been out. He missed the entire ACC tournament. Not quite sure when or if he's going to be back. So they are thin. If they have any injury, obviously we saw they were very average when Zion went out. He is calling him a game changer might be an understatement. And he truly could put this team on their back and win the whole thing. The problem with Duke is if they go cold from 3, which they're, if they win the national championship this year, they will be the worst 3-point shooting team to ever to do so. So they can go cold. And, you know, if you let Zion get 35 and the rest of the team can't shoot, a team like Michigan State, you know, or another team like Florida State, and we've seen what North Carolina can do. Even with a healthy Zion, North Carolina had the ball with a chance to win the other night. But I do think that the fact that he played 3 straight nights at a very high level and really showed no impact of being slowed by his knee injury is a huge, huge sign and boost. And I think that's what where a lot of those odds come from and why they are by far the favorite.
Who can give Duke the best match in that East region?
In that East region, I mean, you look, Virginia Tech's getting, you know, their second leading scorer back, and they beat them 2 weeks ago. It was without Zion, and it was at Virginia Tech. But that's a conference game in the Sweet 16. And so you're looking at that'll be close. I think Duke will have no trouble getting out of the first weekend. And then that winner, the LSU, Michigan State, in my mind, those two teams will probably advance. I mean, do you want to bet against Tom Izzo getting to the Final Four? Those are two. Those will be two really well-coached teams. The Michigan State point guard has got a kind of a bum toe, so we'll see how that goes. But I would have to say Michigan State would be the team. They have the most talent and experience, and they've got some older guys. And it'll really be interesting to see how these Duke freshmen, do when they get on the big stage. Of course, they've been on the big stage a lot of their careers, even in high school, and they've played every game on national TV. So this shouldn't change too much. But I would have to say Michigan State.
12s and 5s are often very, very interesting to discuss because it seems like every year you have at least one upset there. And boy, are there some really interesting 12 and 5 matchups this year. You alluded to one already in Murray State with one of the best players in the country in Ja Morant. They are a 12 seed in this tournament. They're taking on Marquette. And then you look at the other 12s and 5s in this one. I wasn't as intrigued by what's going on in Duke's region with Mississippi State and Liberty, but you look at what's going on with Auburn and New Mexico State. I believe New Mexico State's won like 19 in a row, but then again, Auburn's nothing to sneeze at. They won the SEC tournament, and you look at the other 12-5 matchup. Oregon is red hot right now, and they take on Wisconsin. So of those 12 and 5 matchups, where do you think the best chance of an upset lies?
Well, the two that I like the most is the first one we talked about was Murray State over Marquette. Marquette's lost 6 of their last 7 games. Ja Morant, if he doesn't try to play, you know, try to prove himself, you know, it'll. I mean, he could go for 40 or 45 and single-handedly win that game. Plus, you know, I think that, you know, you're just hot at the right time. But they're the team from a smaller conference. They've been off for almost a week and a half, almost 2 weeks by the time they play a game. Like you said, the one that really jumps out to me and the one I would pick is Oregon over Wisconsin. I think when you say it by name alone, it doesn't sound as big of an upset, but it's a 12 over 5. Oregon lost their best player, Bol Bol, Manute Bol's son, about 15 games into the season, and it took them a while to get adjusted. But I think they've won 10 or 11 games in a row, had no trouble in the Pac-12 tournament, and won the championship game against Washington by, I think, 22, 24 points, and are just playing really, really good basketball. And they're doing it at the right time. They've got a good mix. So their record's 23-12, but, you know, it took them a little bit of adjusting to get to where they are. Wisconsin is a really good team, fundamentally sound. You know, they're one of those teams that if they're standing in the Elite Eight, you're not surprised. But I really see Oregon winning this and actually winning a couple games, therefore qualifying in your bracket as a Cinderella, because Kansas State's out their leading scorer as well. So that actually really sets up well for Oregon to advance and probably get a shot at Virginia.
All right, Dan, before we cut you loose here, we talked about a lot of 12 seeds here over the last couple of minutes because commonly you see those are the upsets in the first round. You see anybody lower than a 12 winning in the first round, or I guess of those seeded lower than 12th, are there some teams out there that you think have a really good chance to pull off at least a first-round upset?
Sure, yeah, I would say kind of sticking to where we just were, UC Irvine, you know, they're a 30-game winner. They don't have any bad losses. And they're playing Kansas State. And unfortunately for Kansas State, their best player, Dean Wade, is hurt again. He's in a boot. They said their coach was praying that he could play. I think if you have to resort to prayers about an injury, he's probably not going to get in. So I really like UC Irvine to possibly take out Kansas State in that 13-4. You know, a team like St. Louis could beat Virginia Tech. If Virginia Tech can't get going, St. Louis just got hot at the right time. They were preseason A-10 favorites, had a great conference season, and they lost 5 or 6 games to kind of start the A-10. So they go into the conference tournament as a 6 seed, start playing well again, and they can kind of catch fire. They've got 23 wins. But I think once you get past those 13s, you're really, really going to be pushing hard to find somebody that you could really get comfortable with picking.
Dan, real quick, I want to get your opinion. The 11 versus 11 matchups that you have down in Dayton, for the 6 seed that has to play against those 11 teams, you don't get as much time to prep as everybody else kind of does in the bracket. Does that make it harder on the coaching staff, on the players, not really knowing who you're going up against in the next couple days?
It sure does, because there's, you know, there's 62 other teams ready and waiting to play, knowing who they play. So you're at that disadvantage, and those games are late. That they're, I think they don't start till 9 o'clock. So there'll be games on Wednesday night. You'll only have probably 36 to 48 hours to prep on who you're playing. Obviously, you plan to play both of them, but you can only do so much in practice with that. So the coaches will have a pretty good idea, but it's translating that message to the coaches. And when you've got a smaller school like Belmont in there, you're probably not going to have nearly as much game film on it. But I wouldn't want that, because then they're coming in hot, they're confident, hey, we've won a tournament game. And there's not a huge discrepancy between, you know, the sixes and the 11s these days.
Good stuff. Well, Dan, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. And as this tournament continues, we'll have you on again as well to talk about the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. You know, some of the Cinderellas. Sorry I had to go there. Just the opportunity was there. I had to take the opportunity. But as always, my friend, we appreciate the time.
Thank you. You guys are the best. Enjoy the brackets.
Absolutely, my
Sounds
friend.
Good.
Thanks, Dan. Again, Dan Helm joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. A unique perspective. A guy, you know, a former Division I assistant, a guy who has certainly been through this before, and you know, obviously a wealth of knowledge when it comes to college basketball. And boy, interesting talking about that 13-4, which you don't hear a whole lot about. I mean, a 13-4 happens on occasion. UC Irvine, 30-team winning 13 seed, could be interesting.
Yeah,
all
no
right.
Kidding.
We are way late for a break, so we'll take one now. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're talking with Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle-Telegram. Bullseye on the Afternoon continues after this.
When do you want to spot that burglar? When he's casing your home or after he's in? Ask John, whose Blink camera alerted him of burglars trying to break in while he and his family were home. Or Shannon, whose Blink camera caught a thief stealing packages. Both times, Blink video clips...